I'm happy to speak to you again this evening and continue a small series that I started last time that I was privileged to speak. And it's in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. And if you would join me there. The Apostle Peter wrote to suffering believers in his first epistle. He exhorted them to live for God in a hostile world that sometimes includes persecution. And I know there are places in the world where that is still true in a very real way. And of the many practical admonitions Peter gave to his readers in chapters 1 and 2, five of them were in the form of similes. And I'm going to define a simile once again, as I did last time. A simile is a figure of speech directly expressing a resemblance in one or more points of one thing to another. So they're real life things that you can compare and learn something about another thing. And in chapter 1, verse 14, the apostle used the simile of obedient children. One of the key terms to look for is, of course, the word as. That's the term that helps you compare. So we're to be as obedient children. And he urged believers to be holy by God's grace and power in that connection. The second simile is at the beginning of chapter 2. And I'm reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, which is slander, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And the simile there is as newborn babes. We are to desire the sincere milk of the word. That is a pure spiritual milk from the word of God. Now, Peter's reference to the milk of the word in this passage is entirely positive. It is unlike two other New Testament passages, which many or all of you will be fairly familiar with, I think, if you hear them. One is 1 Corinthians 3:2. Paul writes to these saints, I have fed you with milk and not with meat or solid food, what that word meat stands for. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. And Paul was rebuking the Corinthian believers for their lack of spiritual maturity, which comes in connection, of course, with the word of God. It was as if they were still babies on the bottle rather than being able to eat the solid food of the word. They had not advanced, and Paul was rebuking them for it because they should have by that time. Very similar to this situation is Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, in which the writer laments the same condition for his readers that the Apostle Paul did for the Corinthians. He wrote, For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat or solid food. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The writer of Hebrews was not playing down the fact that the word of God is like pure milk to the believer. He is rebuking his readers, just like Paul did, for not advancing, not learning more of what God was saying in his word, and of course, obeying that word. Well, most of us like to see babies, and a few of us like to hold them. If you have a new baby and you're somewhere around Pastor Greg, just hold on tight because he's going to grab that child and want to hold it and show it to everybody. His three are pretty well grown up now, so he needs to get somebody else's at the time. And I dare say that most of us at one time were infants. and yet we grew up and matured. It's the same with spiritual life. We're born from above by the Spirit of God. We are made new creations in Christ Jesus and made spiritually alive by God's power through the vicarious blood death of God's Son on Calvary. So we begin as spiritual newborns, but we also grow. We don't stay as newborns and just drinking milk and not advancing. We're supposed to become mature, and that involves a number of stages of life. And it works in the spiritual realm just as surely as it works in the physical realm. And it's as sad, and more so perhaps in the spiritual realm, if we stay like babies and not advance into a maturity, as it would be very sad in the physical realm. We've got to believe God's promises. We have to obey His commandments, and that's how we grow. So this milk of the word that Peter is referring to, though, is entirely in the positive sense. There's no rebuke here. He's talking about the quality of that which nourishes our soul and that which we need to give attention to and desire fervently. The word is always like pure mother's milk to the believer. And it nourishes his soul and enables him to grow stronger. And that's what the Apostle Peter is writing about in this passage. And we are to be like brand newborn babies, desire their mother's milk. And that's the picture that he gives to believers of whatever stage of maturity they're in at the time. We're to love God's word and crave it with the idea of that in mind. So are you and am I growing in the gospel? Are we maturing in the faith? Are we knowing the Lord Jesus better today? Are we serving better? Are we responding to the word of God as we should in a better way as day goes after day? In 2 Peter 3:18, the apostle himself exhorts the saints to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we're craving God's word as newborns crave mother's milk, we are growing, we are maturing, and the Lord will be pleased. We have to lay aside, however, such things that he begins this passage with, the malice, the guile, the hypocrisies, the envies, and the slander. That can't be a part of our life if we're going to have spiritual growth and victory. Those things come from the old sinful nature, which we carry with us, but we're not to respond to that by the grace of God, but rather our new nature. Well, verse 2 describes this milk of the word. In the King James translation, a term that we might not have expected in this context, it's the word sincere. Sincere came into English by way of Latin, and it has the meaning of genuine and without any additional substance. The sincere word is the pure word, without anything mixed in with it. It is what we should long for as we seek to grow in Christ's likeness. The word is what we should be craving. Now, obviously, there's nothing wrong with commentaries, with sermons, with seminars, and such things that point out truths from God's word. But they are no substitute for the word. They help us to understand God's word better, and that's why they're valuable. But our desire should primarily go to the word of God, and things that help us to know and respond to God's word better are the things that are valuable to us. Understanding and doing what God said in his word should be our prime goal as individuals. We want it to be a goal and trust that we're succeeding in that goal as a mission for Trinity Bible Church as well. In our Sunday school program, in our preaching services, in our outreach ministries, we try to emphasize the word of God, his truth, and direct people's attentions to what God has said. There's no substitute for Scripture as the food and drink for our souls. Jeremiah wrote how he valued God's words, familiar text, I think, to most of you. In 15:16, Jeremiah said, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." Well, he has this idea of eating or drinking in that sense, taking the word of God in to the soul, to the heart, to the mind. Just like food is important to the body, God's truth is to our souls. Job, even in his unexplainable troubles, said, as recorded in chapter 23, verse 12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." That was Job in the middle of his suffering, unexplained suffering. And there's a man who's valuing the word of God, as I trust we can be more and more like him. Sometimes many of us are put to shame to think how little we esteem the words of God. We certainly don't rise to Job's standard, I think. Sometimes it's almost as we regard them as optional. We can take them or leave them. And that probably means more often than not that we leave them. Sometimes we think they're helpful once in a while, God's words, and maybe even occasionally necessary. That's not the picture that Peter gives us in his simile here, as newborn babes craving mother's milk. That's the picture he draws for us there in that simile, that how we should love and desire and yearn for the Word of God. Hebrews 1:2 tells us that it was in these last days that God has spoken unto us by his Son, having spoken unto the fathers, the Israelite ancestors, and so on, by the prophets. And according to Peter's own words in chapter 1 of this first letter, God's word is alive, it's incorruptible, and it will abide forever. And it's a worthy and pure word that we should seek to know. We should long for it. We should want it to be fulfilled. We should crave it for our spiritual well-being. Now, verse 3 in 1 Peter 2, the text says, "If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Peter is not expressing doubt about his readers knowing the Lord in saving faith and having experienced his grace in forgiving their sin. There are a number of verses in which the English word "if" appears, and it carries the meaning of "since" or "because." For example, I could say, "If I speak louder like this, you should be able to hear me better." So, since I spoke louder, hopefully, you heard me better. Sometimes the word "if" comes across, and in the New Testament text as well, and it expresses uncertainty of one degree or another. And we know how that is, and that's generally how we think of the word "if" in English. So it's worth pointing out here. If it rains on Saturday, we'll have to postpone the outing. Well, we don't know whether it'll rain or not. So it's all uncertain, it's conditional, and we just have to wait and see. But that word "if," as I said, comes up, and this is one of them, where it is a certainty. It could have been translated with the word "because" or "since." So in verse 3, he's not stating an uncertainty. He wrote to people he believed were born-again Christians. They had repented of their sins. They were relying on the finished work of Jesus Christ. As I trust every one who is hearing this message has done. One commentator wrote about verse 3, commenting on that verse. He says, "Seeing ye have tasted," there could be no doubt that they had tasted the goodness of Christ, who were born again of incorruptible seed and whose hearts were purified by the truth, and who had like precious faith with the apostles themselves. So he captures the idea of this, of the certainty of this, even though the word if is there. He knows that it conveys that sense. We should be like newborn babies, craving the precious, pure word of God, that we might grow and be sincere. Don't be, we need to be mature in all that he wants us to be. And that process never will happen without a careful attention to God's word that he has graciously given to us. Finally, another translation of this passage goes this way. Stop being hateful. Quit trying to fool people and start being sincere. Don't be jealous or say cruel things about others. Be like newborn babies who are thirsty for the pure spiritual milk that will help you grow and be saved. You have already found out how good the Lord really is. I trust everyone in this room has already found that out. And we need to find out more about how good the Lord is by continuing to crave and pursue the truth of his word. Shall we pray together? Lord, we thank you for revealing yourself to us. We thank you for being plain and for giving us a word that we can understand well enough to know you and to know how to serve you well. We pray that as we gather around these truths this evening, as we bring petitions to you, that our trust will be in your promises, and that we will go out from here seeking to be obedient as you desire us to be. Thank you for all these good gifts. And we thank you that we can come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.